Jingle around, round the clock. Mix and a mingle and a jingle can be. That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell. Thanks for bringing us this song, Levi Diaglacio. We'll see you at the end.
Well, you don't have to because we are recording as we speak.
Oh, bonjour.
This is a test. Test 1, 2. Test.
Sorry for our singing. We sound horrible, but we don't care.
I think I sound wonderful. Yes, y'all, let's get up on the next one. Let's go. Hello, everybody. This is our very first Red Row podcast, unofficial. This is just a test, so bear with us. We will figure it out. I don't know. But today we have a very special guest, one of our very own summer students, who is well known in his community. He is very nailig, a self-proclaimed bottle, a hard-working bingo caller, and my friend Patrick Cruzdeni. How are you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing good, Jordy. Thank you for the introduction. I love it.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Yeah, it's like the best. I love it when people introduce me as being a badal and nailig, because those are like the two best things I love doing in my community. I'm like everywhere. Everybody knows me.
Well, tell us about how you feel about the word badal, because some people take it very differently than how you or other people would.
So the word badal is not offensive to my family. It's like... Wait, I have to tell you guys a funny story. Oh God, this made my life. So one day there was a teleconference, video conference in whatever with MK and all the schools in Nova Scotia. So Faye and Blair, which are our co-workers here, were doing the Christmas teleconference in video, whatever that is, Polycom and stuff. Anyway, me and my cousin Susie, we just so happens to walk by this video conferencing that was going on with all the schools. And we like run up to the screen because we're so happy to see Blair and Faye. And we go, hi, Badal, to all the schools in Nova Scotia. Let me tell you, my God, the only community that got so mad was Shubenacadie. And I'm even surprised they knew what the word Badal was.
That's not nice.
Let's take it back a bit. What does it mean? What does the word mean?
Badal is
English translation.
Oh my god. Composure. Keep your composure, Patrick.
The reason why I was like, bah! I was like, oh my god.
Don't hit the table.
Oh my god. It's so funny because like that's a community that does not speak Mi'kmaq, but yet they know the one word that would be offensive to them, a badal, which means bastard in English.
Oh my god.
It's not even that offensive. You I'm know, a badal.
It's me too. It's not really offensive, but like...
It's a term of endearment for some people. That's what we're trying to go for. That's what we're trying to go with, that it's a term of endearment, especially in our family. If you call each other badal, it's like
nothing. Yeah. It's like you're saying hello, basically. Honest to God. It's like not offensive to me. But Shubenacadie was the one to complain. So our director of education, Elizabeth Krimmel, like freaks out. Because I use the word badal to all the schools in Nova Scotia. and this is the reason why it's so funny. It was because I got a reaction out of her that like it was like I dropped the F-bomb. It was like so bad and she was so mad. So she goes and runs to my principal, which then makes me write an apology letter. My God. Let me tell you. I took that up, took that letter that I got from Elizabeth Krimmel, which was this shit letter stating.
You can't use that on our podcast. No swear.
It's not even that bad of a swear.
No. We can't speak like that.
Wait, this is a Red Road podcast.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I apologize.
So I said composure, Patrick. Composure.
It was composure.
Are you going to be like editing, like, every couple seconds of this whole dialogue?
But anyway, so I wrote this letter, but my long friend was in town. Her name is Annie Batiste. She is a well-known activist in Saskatchewan, and she's known for being who she is. If you know who I'm talking about, then you will know. So I told her about my dilemma I was having in school, and she completely freaked out. She was so mad that the school was making me apologize for using a Eurocentric church system word that means has no concept in like anybody's life except people who are offended by the word. But anyway, so we wrote this letter. It was so mean, and I die every time I hear the word bottle. But anyway, continue.
Oh, no. Anyway, so yeah,
that was like this 15 minutes.
This is Patrick.
This was 15 minutes of nonsense.
It was not 15 minutes, but anyway, this is Patrick Cruz Denny. He is he works with us as part of the Red Road. He is the Red Road project assistant. But yeah, I like Patrick because he's no filter and he just goes on. And, like, he does not care what he says half the time, but he is a pretty respectable person.
Yeah, when I have to be.
But, yeah, if you heard another voice, by the way, I forgot to mention that this is,
Levi DiGlacio.
Oh, my gosh.
So introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name is Levi Marshall. I work on the Red Road Project. I'm the multimedia developer, and I'm here just joining in with these two crazy guys today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It, what is also fun, like, we just decided to do this, like, half hour. Like, we had no bearing of, like, podcasts, like, 5 days ago. Like, who cared?
I've been thinking about this for a while.
I have not. That's the God honest.
I just woke up this morning and I said, I'm going to do a podcast and I'm just going to tell them today and we're going to do it today and we're doing it. So
yeah,
it's awesome. Right. Awesome.
So you guys have a...
So we got a list of questions. And
yeah,
so,
that's where I was
going. So it is kind of like
a little interview.
Yeah, like a little interview. Kind of like a speed dating where you have 20 questions.
I'm not speed dating.
We're not dating.
Okay. I'm just making that clear.
So we have a series of like a deep questions, and then we have questions that are on the lighter side. So here we are. We're gonna start. Whew. Let's shake it out. All right, ready? I'm ready. How do you like working with the Red Road Project?
I like it very much. If it wasn't for the Red Road Project, I would be very bored at home doing absolutely nothing. And when I mean absolutely nothing, that means I'm gaming all day long. So that's what I would have been doing. So thank God for the Red Road Project for giving me an opportunity to have summer employment and actually do something.
Well, you know what? Before I started working at the Red Road Project, I was just there. And I was working at the school as a teacher's assistant.
I thought this is about me.
Well, it's about I'm sharing a part of me. You be quiet.
Okay. I just wanted to say
I'm just having open dialogue.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and then I did like 2 months of travel, and then as soon as I finished traveling, bam, got this job. Like, now I'm here. Life changed.
You can make some more money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we can say yeah. That. More money than I was unemployed. But
for sure.
For sure. Anyway.
Next.
That's good. How is your summer going so far, Patrick?
Holy God. So my summer just began because for the last 3 weeks it's been raining bad. And I apologize, that's my phone. I bet you it's the Red Road group chat. And I was right.
And turn off all notifications.
Yeah, that's gone. But anyway, back to the question. My summer is going very well. It just started. And
that,
what that I mean by just started.
I'm sorry, but that noise is just like shows the legitimacy of this whole podcast. Like, we're going good. And bam, Facebook ruins it. This is ruined. We're scrapping this whole idea. We're done.
No, I don't think we should. But
anyway, keep going.
So anyway, our first summer was the other day. And a while ago, me and Jordy decided to go tubing on his brand new Sea-Doo. Let me tell you, I'm still sore because he drove like a crazy person and almost killed me. My life is very, like, I love
it's
my
precious.
Life so much.
Yeah, it's precious. A very that's precious, the way. Yeah, fragile. Yeah. No, I'm not jokes. Fragile. Yeah. It's just precious.
And it's valuable. You're valuable.
It's valuable. Yeah. I am very valuable. If I wasn't here today, this podcast wouldn't be happening. Let's just put it there. No, just
kidding. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Anyway, what do you like about the Red Row Project?
That's like, I don't know. I haven't been here long enough to really, really like something. The only thing I really like...
What about the people? What about everyone who works in the Red
Row Project? Yeah, what about us?
I just met you. This is my dream.
And this is crazy.
Yeah. You have to get to a certain part of my life before I like you. Oh my God. So it'll come. I know, I'm just joking. I love the Red Road. I love the staff. I love my bosses. I love the leaders. I love what Red Road represents. And what Red Road represents to me is maintaining a drug and alcohol free youth life. And hopefully it continues after youth. Because we are having a major epidemic when it comes to drug and alcohol in our youth communities. So I think of this as something good. A positive outcome for our communities, hopefully, will continue. So anyway, I'm done with that question. Next!
Wow, that was so
good. That was good. That was good.
No, it was
like,
not.
Vote for Panda for Prime Minister.
I would vote for you.
No. I don't want to be Prime Minister.
You could be Chief.
So what? So what? I could build myself a house and that's it. No,
I don't. Get voted in next
they don't
year.
Yeah, they don't get voted in next year. I think if I ever become chief, I'd be like, give me all the money and I'd like run away.
They're like, oh, no, glues in a panda. No, 1 year. What's up, Maui Day? Okay, next year. Oh, that's the day. When you go?
Yeah.
Oh, totally wala.
Yeah. And I'd be like, suckers. I got y'all. I got y'all.
Oh, my God.
But no, I don't want to be in politics. It's not my thing.
Well, you got some political questions. So, you know, here's, we're going to see a side of you that you don't like to show. Mm-hmm. Too bad. You're too on the bad. Podcast.
Yeah, I'm here.
What changes would you like to see in the Mi'kmaq youth today?
That's a tough one. Let me see. Be more open.
That was an intense beat.
I know. I can't help it. I was like, I don't know what to say. So it just like came out. I thought you guys were probably... No, I hope you guys are expecting like something big after that beat. You guys were like some inspirational
question. It sounds like you're about to break on the song.
That's so funny.
Yes.
But yeah, hopefully they can be something for themselves.
That's good though. That's good.
I myself personally, I think that more Mi'kmaq youth, especially on the reserves, need to be more like, okay, so there's a lot of things for sports and a lot of things for athletes, people who are athletes, but what about people who are not athletes like me?
Including me. Yeah. I am one of those people.
Like arts.
I don't know
like,
about y'all, but I work out.
I work out too. I mean, yeah, that's good.
My working out is meaning like putting food in my mouth. That's my workout. I love to eat.
Always put them
out. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, done.
That's like the best workout I get every day. I love it.
No, it's but like for serious, best. Like we yeah, need stuff serious. Like that are more artsy, like film and video and...
Okay, that's your thing?
Theater stuff.
There's but I believe that's true. Some people need to find ways to express themselves and some people can't express themselves through sports and recreation.
Well,
and
I express myself through Facebook. You can follow me on my stuff. I am very expressional. I am
We have a bracket for social media promo, and that's at the end of the podcast.
Oh, well, excuse me. We'll get to there next.
Yeah, but I agree. I agree with what Levi said.
It's true.
It's very, on a serious note, we're not on the lighter side just yet. On a serious note, that is very true.
Yeah.
Anyway, going on. Are you eligible to vote this year for the federal election? If so, are you going to be voting this year?
Yes, I will be, and the reason for that is we need to get rid of Hitler Harper.
What? Okay.
I actually think he's a really great man.
What? What is wrong with you?
Well,
just joking.
The way I see it, I don't know him personally, so I don't really know, but we need change, I guess.
Yeah, change is good. I feel like if we are stuck with him for another 4 years, there will be no Red Row Project and there will be no Ilnu. Just saying. So.
Okay, moving on. Moving on from that question. But I do have to say that voting for the federal election is very important. And if you're eligible to vote, I advise you to vote if you want to make that change.
Yes.
Because every one vote makes a difference. We're all a collective. And don't think that you won't make a difference, because you will. So do it.
Yeah.
Vote. 2015.
Agreed.
Justin Trudeau. JK. Maybe.
NDP. Anybody but conservative. Just saying.
Unless you're a conservative person, then.
No, 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 no. Just because you're a conservative person doesn't mean you have to vote for conservative. No, no.
Anyway, moving on. Politics done. Bam. Do you know what they're... Did you know that they're making a new immersion school in Escazoni?
I had just heard. This is, like, wonderful news, because I come from a family where...
Well, here's the other question. What are your thoughts about that?
Oh, okay. Well, since I didn't see that question or hear that question before, here's my thoughts. I come from a family that you have to know your language. Language is, like, the most important thing. Language comes before your culture. And the reason why I say that is not to offend anybody, but... My grandfather, the late Jigeptin Alexander Dini, was very strong on language. So before anything, like say if I was going to go be like traditional, I would always be encouraged to speak my language. So with them making this new immersion school, this is going to hopefully boost our language up in our communities, or in Escazoni rather. And I hope to see that all the other schools take this into consideration and build these immersion schools, because they're really important. And without our language, who are we as Ilmu?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Da ho.
I think there's always room to learn the language. If you can go off and learn a different language, like if you're going down south to learn Spanish and you find out that you end up being fluent in Spanish, why can't we do the same thing with Mi'kmaq?
I agree. The one time I want to know a different language is when I'm in Quebec. Let me tell you. That's the only time.
It's because it's very hard to say.
It's very, yeah. Yeah. Remind you.
Isn't it just like Putin?
Putin.
You can't say Putin, because I mean something different.
Yeah.
So we won't say on here.
Well, we will not say that, the meaning of Putin. You have to say Putin. Okay, reminder, people. Putin. I hear a lot of that. That just drives me crazy. When somebody says, can I have a Putin? I'm like, okay.
No, you may not.
No. No.
Okay, anyway, that's very good. That's a very good answer. I agree. You agree, Levi?
Yeah, I do. What do you guys think about them teaching? Do you guys think they should teach French to us?
No.
You don't think they should?
No. Well, I think it should be an option, but I don't think French should be mandatory for people. Just like how...
No. You ask French, I think our language comes first.
If you ask French people, oh, do you think Mi'kmaq should be mandatory in their French immersion schools?
Yeah.
They would look at you and say, oh, no.
It's not even about that. It's like, it's not necessary. Why should you learn to speak Spanish in a place where they don't speak Spanish? Like if you go to China and like, oh, we're making Spanish like mandatory in all the schools. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. But I would love to learn Chinese.
I do agree that Mi'kmaq classes could possibly be an idea to teach in different classes. Like as part of a language class. Just like Gaelic and French.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's all these apps out now, and that's really good, but, like, it teaches you words on their own, but it doesn't really teach you how to, like, put things into sentences and to properly speak and to have a conversation with someone. I think that's really important as well. And I wish I could have learned my language when I was younger. And now I'm looking towards, you know, moving away to Ontario, and I don't know if I'll ever be back in Nova Scotia, so am I really going to, like, it comes back to what you said earlier, am I going to need it in that? Where I am.
But it all comes part, I spoke with an elder, Albert Marshall and Merdina Marshall. They're a married couple, and they talk a lot about 2IC. And I asked them, if we're in a situation where we have to save one thing, language or culture, which one do you think would be the most important? And he's like, that's not the way I see it. They're part of each other. One is not without the other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our whole idea of 2IC, and not seeing it in one perspective, but seeing it in other perspectives.
I get
see
that.
It as a whole.
That's a very good one. But like for me, I would just stick to language, because as soon as you're good with your language, then you can also move on to your culture. There's nothing wrong with doing both. I get the two-eyed scene approach. I agree with it. It's really good. But I'm more of a language type, linguistics
yeah, guy. And I'm about it all.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, the thing is that I was never taught my language, and I grew up pretty much, you know, off reserve. But I think if I could practice my culture, I'd do it as much as I can. I don't really go to church and practice.
There is no Christianity. Excuse me, there is a woman in my community named Roxanne, and she can speak Mi'kmaq, and she is not even a Mi'kmaq woman. She is non-native. If she can do it, you can do it.
Well, I'm not saying that I, like, you know, if I really wanted to and I was living here on reserve, maybe I would actually, like, push for it more.
Well, you are living here.
Well, that's part of the issues of what our youth face nowadays. How important is it to speak Mi'kmaq? Why should I speak Mi'kmaq, considering that I'm going to move away to university and I'm going to live somewhere else? And to survive in this society nowadays, mm-hmm. you don't need it. Therefore, I don't think it is a priority to learn, and it's really something that.
Yeah, my whole approach is to it is that if I can't do it, I want to eventually be able to capture it on video, so capture people who are able to do it, so that you know others can watch it, and then mm-hmm. that's the way that I'll learn, and then I'll be able to you know preserve the culture.
That's
if
nice.
if I can't learn it myself, I will like work towards you know keeping it alive. As much as I can.
True. I agree. And also, I would like to promote that Mi'kmaq Inamatnue, which is the main supporter of Red Road, has apps on the App Store that you can get. Just type in Mi'kmaq, and there's a bunch of books. There's a language app. So if you are Mi'kmaq, or if you have Mi'kmaq traits in you, or if you're anything, or if you even want to learn, I suggest going to that and, you know, downloading them and... You know, helping yourself. And what I mean by helping yourself is learning the language, because it's not that hard. It's hard, but not that hard.
Anyway, moving on. Do you think the Red Road Project is beneficial to our Mi'kmaq youth today?
Yes, I do. And the reason why I do is because it gives them something to do. And what I mean by something to do is it keeps them off drugs and alcohol. If, you know, they're a group leader, or if they want to be a group leader, you know, all they have to do is show that, you know, how beneficial it is to them. See if they're doing something every day, or, you know, whatever it may be. So I agree. It is very beneficial.
I think it's like one of the only leadership things that we have, like one of the few leadership opportunities that are actually made from indigenous people and that are run by Mi'kmaq people in our province. And I think that's really important, because we need to know how to be good leaders too. You know, we can learn the culture and the language, and it's great to have that, but it's also really important to have a good leadership skills.
And the thing is, too, like a lot of people that are on the Red Road were already Red Road prior to...
Yeah, that's true.
...the joining the movement, mm-hmm. or want to make a change in their life. Mm-hmm. I see it as also a great support system across mm-hmm. the nation, especially with dealing with peer pressure. It's a great support system, like, oh, I had a bad day today because my friends were out drinking, and... I feel alone, and you have that group of friends that you've made, especially from the Stone Bear camp this summer, mm-hmm. the group of friends and a network of people to rely on, especially when you're having tough times like that. Moving on to the next question, is related to what I just said, is our youth are facing many struggles today with peer pressure. What was your approach to dealing with that as a youth?
Me? Really? I had friends that did drugs. I had friends that smoked. I had friends that chewed. I had friends that drank. And this happens like 11, 12, 10, 13 years old. And I dealt with it pretty good. Yes, I did experiment on smoking. I experimented on chewing. I didn't drink and I didn't do drugs. But let me tell you, the smoking was horrible and the chewing tobacco was just as bad. So I always looked at it as, do I need it? Is it a necessity in my life? Why would I do it? And I always said, no, I don't need it. I'd rather spend my money doing something else. Mm-hmm. And that's what I always did. So my approach was, no, I'm not. I don't want to. It's not fun. It makes you Johnny. And what I mean by Johnny is a term it's used here. Term. It's like
it's an esky term.
Yeah, it's an eschatology
like
term.
Run.
Yeah, it's just like yeah, it's like basically shaming you, or like just be like, I can't even.
Johnny it's is hard. Something that's not cool.
Yeah, not cool. I was trying to think of the word, proper term to use for Johnny, but God, it makes you uncool.
Yeah. But yeah. Another thing is, too, is that, like, I think a lot of people will go through that in their mind, and then, but what wins is the social pressure of how, like, all their friends, like, oh, we're doing it, and they don't want to feel like a loser, because a lot of people, especially the youth, are dealing with identity issues, and that's really a big problem, because no one seems to be able to feel free enough to be themselves in public.
That's true. I personally, the reason why I do it is because I've seen what, you know, drugs and alcohol do to people. My dad was an alcoholic, like, his whole life, and that's the reason why my parents are divorced. So I've seen how bad it can get, and I've seen, you know, like, I've went through, like, the abuse and all that stuff, and now for me, I just want
to
be...
Oh my God, we can relate.
Yeah.
Both of my parents were, one of them was a really bad alcoholic, my father, and it, like, tore my family to pieces. Mm-hmm.
It does. It really
it
does.
It, like, does. And nobody really notices until, like, it's, like, too late on that, what that particular problem was. Thank God my dad doesn't drink no more. Mm-hmm. He has his own other family. I'm very proud of him for that. And, like, you know, it's life, I guess. And it was a very, you know, I can't sit here and say that I never drank. That's, like, something. I know that I work for the Red Road, but I can't sit here and be like, oh, drinking is so bad. It is bad. I have done it. It doesn't make you cool. But, you know, like you, like they say, you want to be cool like your friends. I never did it because I wanted to be cool. I didn't do it because I wanted to escape from my life. I did it because I wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I have never done drugs. Except for the morphine they gave me at the hospital. That was the
I went straight to the good
yeah, I got the good stuff. That was the only thing I ever done drug-wise. And it was given to me by a medical physician. That was it. That was the only drug.
But we see it everywhere, like on TV, in our music, in all media today.
I just kind of question, why do they use the media to desensitize people about those kind of things? If you look back in the 50s and 60s, and you look at, or especially in the 60s, you look back in the TV, that showing that kind of stuff on a television is ridiculous. The network will probably be shut down.
Yeah.
And now it becomes more acceptable. It's like a slow drip of desensitization for our people. In the
even with curse words, like, they're allowed to curse on TV in a lot of different stations.
I don't get it. Why wouldn't they be allowed to curse? I am a cursor. I'm surprised I haven't dropped the F-bomb.
But is it okay because we're a society that moves, that changes throughout the ages?
Yes, I think it is okay. Yes.
Anyway, moving on to the next topic. Our next question. This is the last questions on the serious side before we move on to the fun, more less serious questions. Aboriginal people across Canada and also in America are facing many problems when it comes to dealing with stereotypes. What would you say to those who come to you with those type of ignorances?
This is something that, like, I don't think of it too much. It does really, really get to me when I do see it. But I am just as bad because I do give out the same stereotypes as what is given to me. And I think it's because, you know, I'm just trying to be okay with it. And the only way I feel like I'm okay with it, if a stereotype is thrown at me, oh, I throw it right back. I feel like I believe in get even. That's just my motto. I do not recommend anybody to do that. But I know the many stereotypes that comes with being an Aboriginal person. And I also recommend anybody, before they try to throw stereotypes to Aboriginal people, is to know before throwing. I hate people who are so uneducated that, like, say, oh, you natives are no good, you're here for no reason, get lost. That is, like, the worst thing you can throw at me, that I'm going to crush you by my word. I'm going to destroy you. And the reason why I'm going to destroy you is because you're uneducated and you don't know the answer and why we are here. We are Aboriginal people. We're First Nations. We are here before colonialization. And I just believe that before you're going to be ignorant to anybody, I think you need to be educated in a topic of who's been here first or...
But the idea, sorry, the idea goes with any culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true anywhere. That. That's true.
Know them before you judge them.
Yeah,
and that's the problem. A lot of people that are making these judgments haven't actually been on a reserve before. Mm-hmm. I guarantee yeah. that.
But the thing that I see the most, especially that I see as a problem, is the media. And you may not think, what are you thinking, what are you talking about? But if you look, especially in the local media, when it comes to like Cape Breton Post, when there's something that goes on in Sydney, they've hardly broadcast what's going on. But in an instant, they see, oh, Eskizoni man assaults someone in Sydney. I agree.
It's the propaganda so with that, what happens with that is so wrong.
I find it so ridiculous that they're doing that so quick. And it's just, it brings negativity towards our people. And it's just because one person did wrong doesn't mean the rest of us are doing wrong.
I agree.
There are people on there that are just constantly bashing Aboriginal people and saying
and it's
such
so
negative
wrong.
Things.
It's so wrong. And it's like, I do not go bashing out anybody like that unless I have a reason to.
But I think what we don't see is that the people that do support Aboriginal people that are non-Aboriginal, and they're the ones that are not mm-hmm. making any noise. They're not saying anything.
Yeah.
And there's something that's there that's only the really negative ones are saying something, and the people that really do support us as Aboriginal people are not mm-hmm. saying anything at all. But mm-hmm. how can we create that balance? How can we bring that uprising or that?
Yeah. Well, this is kind of both ways too. We see racism off reserve and we see on reserve too, towards mm-hmm. you know, people who are non-Indigenous and people who are Indigenous.
I agree. There's
and
a lot of
it happens
people.
Both ways, and we don't really get to see, you know, there is people on reserve who, you know, who are not really too fond of others who are not Native, but and it goes the exact same way, the other way around.
I agree. Yeah.
But I just see there's no point to hate people because of who they are or what color their skin are. Like, all honesty, I don't really care what you are or who you are. Mm-hmm. Like, you do you.
As long
I'm
as you're
living
a good
my
person,
life.
It only,
like, me too. I am the same way. Like, I will be nice to you the first time I meet you. Really. I will be nice. But once you give me that reason not to like you, I will not be very nice to you at all. And I'm like that towards everybody. I've met so many different people. I've met so many different races. And I was always nice to those people, except when I'm gaming. Oh my God. Let me tell you, I'm so bad. And I always apologize after I'm gaming because the words that are come out of my mouth is so wrong. And I do not recommend anybody...
Game talk.
It's just like card talk. It's just like card talk. When I play cards with my family, it's like we could curse each other out, and it's just like no big deal 5 minutes later. And the reason for that is it's because it's card talk. Mm-hmm. It's non. It's like it's something different. I love.
Don't
my
take
family.
It. Don't take it so personal. Personally, take it on the light side.
Well, yeah. Well, then that comes again to racism. What if somebody's like says something racist? Was like, oh, I was just joking.
That's you want to know what? I've come across people like that. And I know when somebody is sincere about what they say and if they're joking. And I know how to shut people up. Really. I know how to do it in an instant if I get a reaction that I don't like. So to answer that question, it depends on their attitude and the way they portray themselves when saying that any type of ignorance... Mm-hmm. Or if they're just being
mind your language.
I'm sorry, but that's a term that had to be.
So you two
used.
Took over my transition. I was like trying to link in the lighter sorry, on the lighter Julie. Side to link it to the next part. Anyway, no transition, just diving right in. So enough of the serious questions. Here are some questions I'm gonna ask you on the lighter side, just to make light. So it doesn't
end
become like
a
heavy.
I love this. This is so fun. Continue.
Yes. Okay. So here are the questions. Number one, Superman or Batman?
Superman.
Why?
Because he's like so much better than Batman. He
actually has powers. You know, Batman has no powers.
You know what this was going to say? I don't mean to offend anyone that may be listening, but Batman is not a real superhero. He's just rich man with really nice toys.
Yes, yeah, I agree. And he knows karate.
But he does save people, I guess, him and Robin.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Batman needs a psychic. Superman doesn't.
I know. Superman's like riding solo. You see me rolling.
But and then again, Batman doesn't have a weakness like Superman does to kryptonite. But I guess Batman, you can just be killed by anything.
Yeah. You just run over a guy. I could like run up to you and like chop off your head with an axe. There'd be no more Batman. Superman, I'm like, if I go at him with an axe, he'll flick me away like a little fly.
Oh my god. That's so true, yeah.
But as soon as you get like a radioactive rock at him, he's like, it doesn't make sense. Who is your number one superhero? Mine is Thor. Thor is the best.
Yes.
Thor is the best.
Mm-hmm. I would have to say Thor too.
Yeah,
Iron Man's pretty cool too. Iron Man's my favorite billionaire.
Only on the Avengers I like Iron Man. Like, I mean, when we're talking about the Avengers,
if I could be Iron Man, I so would. But I'm so fat right now, it won't work. But I want to be a billionaire philanthropist really bad, and I will be Iron Man any of these days.
Oh my god. Okay. Anyway, if you were stuck on a deserted island and were granted 3 wishes to make your life comfortable for the rest of your life on the island, you can't wish to get off the island. You're stuck there.
Yeah. But I understand that.
What would they be? What would your 3 wishes be?
Okay, my first wish will be for Wi-Fi, because I can't live without Wi-Fi. My number 2nd wish would be for a rechargeable phone by Sony. That'll be my 2nd. And 3rd would be for Smokey's Poutinerie with an unlimited supply of poutine for the rest of my life on that island. Those are the only 3 things I need. I don't need anything else. I have my phone, my internet, my poutine. I'll survive for life.
Priorities.
Yeah. Priorities. People. I don't even want to be Iron Man like that. I just want my poutine.
You trade your Iron Man suit for life.
I will trade it. I'll trade it and $1 billion so I can get my poutine for life.
Oh my god, that's funny.
Oh my god.
How are you gonna? So you're gonna be on an island with the unlimited supply of poutine. With a phone with that solar charges and a dead Wi-Fi box, how are you gonna charge Wi-Fi? You've lost all your wishes. You just be there playing Angry Birds for the rest of your life.
Oh my god! Well, the poutine will keep me company. Cooking for myself.
You just wasted one wish. Good job.
Oh my god.
What is your favorite Disney movie?
Oh my god! I love Finding Nemo. No. I change it. I love Jungle Book because
I hate that movie.
I'm offended.
I'm sorry. I just
Jordy's little brother calls me Bagheera.
And I'm Baloo.
And Jordy's Baloo.
He calls himself Mowgli.
Mowgli. He's and the white Mowgli.
And my brother,
King Louis.
King Louis. The orangutan. Monkey,
the gray tank. Gorilla, whatever it is.
Oh my gosh.
It's so funny.
Yeah, he's so cute.
Yeah, my favorite is Jungle Book.
I don't even know what mine is. Honestly,
you disappoint me.
I think mine's actually be Peter Pan.
I like Peter Pan.
You look like you're a Peter Pan 1 year for Halloween, were you?
No, but I really want to be Peter Pan. Okay, my school might be doing a Peter Pan play. I want to be Captain Hook or Peter Pan.
Let me see your complexion. I think you'd be a good Peter Pan.
You just the way your posture is.
Except the thing, I can't sing. That's the only problem with my teacher.
Peter Pan doesn't sing.
Well,
what
you can just auto-tune.
Auto-tune.
Like T-Pain. Peter Pan.
That's
I'm
a good
Peter
one.
Pan. Kesha.
Oh Kesha Peter Pan.
Okay, next.
Tell me about your thoughts about poutine.
Oh my god, it's the best food in the world.
Period. Next
Period.
Question.
Okay.
Yay bacon or nay bacon?
Yay bacon.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I agree. Bacon is good. Maple bacon? Really good. Yeah. Moving on.
Moving on.
If you could sing one song on American Idol, what would it be?
You go first, Levi. I'm still thinking about this one.
I think it would be We Can Be Heroes. Ooh, you know that one? Heroes by...
Is that like a Moulin Rouge or something?
I don't know.
Oh my god. The first time you... The first word you said, I thought you were singing a song from like... Aladdin.
Or maybe the...
Princess.
Don't stop believing.
Okay, I get it now. That one's good.
That one, yeah.
I want to sing that song in the beginning of Shrek 1. Oh, somebody wants to
the world. I know you know me. That's the song.
She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead.
Next okay, question. Next.
How lucky are you and why?
So lucky.
Apparently, I'm very lucky. I don't consider myself very lucky. I consider myself more blessed. So.
Okay.
Hashtag blessed.
Blessed.
Okay, Beyonce. If you could throw a parade in the MK office of any kind, what parade would you throw?
Oh, that's hard. I think I would just throw like a parade of them not being here because it's so quiet and nobody here to nag you. So the parade would be like nobody's here but
oh
me.
My God. You're just this whole interview is just like shade, 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 shade. Throwing shade like left and right.
I would have a quinceañera parade.
A quinceañera?
Yeah. Have nachos.
I want a fiesta parade because I'm such a Mexican. I want to be a Jew.
Next. Well, you have to
hair for it. Oh my god, I look like a Jew, really, but I'm really dark.
Okay, stop.
Okay. Remember when we were talking about racism earlier?
Oh my god, that just like went out the window right
now. Yeah.
This is who we really are.
But you see, this comes with our humor as being Mi'kmaq. Mm. Our humor. I love it. It's something that is like means a lot to me. But anyway, I see that we have a next question.
On a lighter side, not too deep. How many questions... wait, what? How many square feet of pizza are eaten in America each year?
Oh my god, 100 million because they're so fat. Americans are so fat and they're so like... But I have to admit, the pizza in America is so good. Oh my god.
So, I agree, but I think we need to have like a count. Like we'll play a little chime or something every time you throw shade on this podcast. Because there's like, the count is gone. It's just like through the
roof. Through the roof? Oh my god, I'm so sorry. But yeah.
I think
this is me, though.
I think it's 1 billion square feet.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
I know, but there's a lot of people in America.
Well, think about how much pizza you eat.
Oh my god, I eat a lot. I eat a lot myself.
How many square feet do you think you eat in 1 year just by yourself?
Probably like 1,500, 2,000.
2,000?
I'm a pizza eater.
How big is a square feet? Like this?
I guess
12
so like
inches.
Like
I would say like this, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 12 inches. So I could eat 2,000 12-inch pizzas in a year. No joke.
I think it's like a 10 by 10 block. It's 12.
I would say...
I could be wrong.
But I'm a pizza eater. If I could eat pizza every day, I would eat it just like poutine. Next!
Okay, if there was a movie produced about your life, who would play you and why?
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I think Johnny Depp would be the only one that'll be able to like...
I think Johnny Depp can play anyone.
Yeah, I agree. But my life is so complicated and like so crazy.
Like Johnny Depp as the Queen of England.
That would work. That would work. That would work. Yeah. I agree.
Well, but if you look at him as a Mad Hatter, he kind of looks like the Queen of England already.
I agree.
I thought he was freaky in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, he was kind of weird.
That was really scary. Like him in that movie.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Come on.
It was scary.
Pirates of the Caribbean is more tweepy than that.
No, Pirates of the Caribbean is cool. Pirates of the Caribbean is cool. Willy Wonka is scary.
Willy Wonka is just he seems very unstable. Mentally, like,
he's,
at any moment
he's
he could
not,
just like
yeah.
bam right in the jungle.
He's not there. You're cut. He takes the family into the chocolate factory to live with him. He was going to separate this Charlie from his family.
Yeah, but because he didn't grow up with parents and he grew up with Oompa Loompa at a certain time, that would account for the reason why he's like that. Just
you know
saying.
Who scared me as... what were we talking about again? Oh, Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp, yeah, I forgot his name for a second.
How could you forget him?
The character he played that used to scare me as a child was Edward Scissorhands. Because yes. I would see him, I would cry when I see him. But imagine today, you see him today, like, hey, how you doing? Bam, stabs you in the gut, just trying to, like, shake your hand. Oh, I'm sorry, let me fix your hair. And like,
this is so funny. My friends wanted me to be Edward Scissorhands because I have curly hair that would be able to, like... look like him, and I'm really dark, so they would have to put a lot of makeup on me. I can just imagine me being Johnny Depp for Halloween.
Oh my god.
For okay. those who celebrate.
We have a couple more questions left, and then, like, you know, it'll be lunchtime.
What?
Okay. Actually, there's one more. You're a new addition to the crayon box. What color would you be, and why?
Coral and white. And the reason why I say coral and white, I want it together because that's what I'm wearing today. I love it.
And your underwear is coral?
I told you that in confidence, Levi. Why did you go and tell everybody what color my underwear is?
Now the world knows.
Yeah, now the world knows. It doesn't Thank matter. You. No, 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 no.
Why that was like matter? Something. People know what color your underwear is. Like, when you bend down, people see. You can see.
Oh, yeah, but these people will be like from other provinces or hopefully other communities.
Mine's gray.
Yeah, no.
It's gray today.
Yeah, nobody like,
see,
wants to
I
see
shared
it
mine. Now it's fine. Now.
No, no, no. Sorry. It's not fine because you told
everybody.
We're not
everybody. Talking about underwear here. We're talking about what color would you be in a crayon box?
Magenta.
Levi.
Magenta.
You would be magenta.
Coral and white.
Why?
I don't know. It says majestic magenta.
Majestic magenta.
Yeah.
How would you say that in Mi'kmaq?
Majesta seat?
No. Oh. Okay, that's enough.
Oh my god. That came out wrong. Okay. I was trying to say all something right. else.
Right. We're editing that out of the podcast. And that's all the questions I have to ask you, Patrick. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
Yeah, thank you, Levi, for being my little nailing bot doll.
Oh, what did you call him again in the podcast?
Levi Diaglossio.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay.
So that's all we have here today for our very first Red Row podcast, and I hope you all enjoyed this as much as I did, or as much as we did, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Follow us on all our social media. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. We are the Red Row Project. That's Red Road Project, REDROAD. PROJECT. So have a great day, everybody, and namotis.
Oh, before we end this, please follow my social media, Patrick Cruz Denny. I will follow and let anybody follow me as long as you are human and not those robots.
And you can follow me on YouTube, Levi Marshall, and pretty much on everything else, Levi_Marshall. Except Twitter, it's at Levi Epic.
Yeah, and you can follow me too, I guess, if we're doing this. I'm on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter. Never use Twitter. And that's about it, I think. Yeah, Jordy Marshall.
And
or
Tumblr.
Jortay, Jortayy. That's my everything. All right, thank you, guys. Thank you for listening to us. If there's any
Nimultis.
Of you. I bet you there's probably only like 5 people listening to this.
But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
They got us.
We got them. We will get them.
Yeah, we will get them at our next one.
Yes. But yeah, okay, bye!
Ciao!
Peace and love. Oh, no, I should say it in French. Au revoir!
Au
revoir, mes amis!
Yeah. Nemul torsob. Nemul torsob.